That was nice. Sometimes you just got to do some things like that, and that was definitely one of them. Thank you, Lord. I'm sure many of you have heard of C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Just a wonderful, wonderful story that tells the story of Jesus in a different way. And in that particular book, C.S. Lewis writes about Aslan, the Christ figure, tricking the wicked witch, who is the figure of Satan, by offering his own life to pay for the transgressions of Edmund. The white witch happily agrees, thinking she has defeated Aslan and his kingdom forever when she will be able to kill him. But the white witch does not know the deep magic that an innocent life who dies willingly for the guilty creates a force of energy more powerful than death. And what C.S. Lewis powerfully communicates to us in this book, the heart of it, the star of it, the light within it, he shares with us a universal principle that's at the heart of our universe, and it is simply this: self-sacrifice is the highest act. The giving of yourself is one of the greatest things that you can do. In fact, it is the zenith, if you will, the expression of love, the giving of love to another person, self-sacrifice. And you know, over these next few weeks, we're spending some time reflecting on stewardship and what that is. And I would share with you here today that part of what stewardship is the giving of ourselves. It's the sacrificing of ourselves on behalf of the Lord and on behalf of others in a very powerful and life-giving and transforming way. You know, at the time when you and I sacrifice, we may be happy to do it, but there are other times where we're not. We don't want to make the sacrifice. Oh, we try to smile about it, and we try to be polite and not rude, but in our hearts, we don't want to do it. And let me just say, it is those sacrifices that are especially important, especially giving. Those are the ones that the Lord can use in very powerful ways. I invite you to look with me at Philippians this morning, our second lesson. We reread a very powerful story about our Lord in this reality of the sacrificing love of God, and that self-sacrifice is at the heart of our universe. In Philippians 2, we read, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And so part of what we hear in this beautiful writing that Paul was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit is that Jesus, as the Son of the living God, in the heavens, experiencing the worship of the angels, experiencing the praise and worship of Almighty God that we reflected on last week, he did not count that as something that he had to hold on to. He did not count equality with God as something that needed to be grasped, or in your lesson today, exploited. But rather, it says he humbled himself, he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. And the reason why Jesus did this was, it was because the will of the Father. That's what the Father wanted him to do. It was Jesus' destiny to come and live among us and to be a human being, to live like us, to eat like us, to breathe like us, to struggle like us, never to sin, but yet to be among us in a very real and powerful way, and to truly experience to the depths what it was like to be a human being. That was Jesus' humility. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Brian Smith shares in The Good and Beautiful God that the cross is the symbol and reality of God's love and sacrifice for us. Jesus assumed and healed our human condition, and in so doing, he demonstrated the depths of God's love for all of creation. Again, God so loved the world that he did not send a committee. God so loved the world that he did not send a philosophy. God so loved the world that he didn't give you 10 goals that you needed to complete by the time that you died in order to earn your salvation. But rather, God so loved the world that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins, to sacrifice himself that we might embrace the redemption that he offers. And the reason why God did that was because that is exactly what we needed. That is what we needed. We needed redemption. We needed the shed blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from our sins. We needed the Lamb of God to make us right before the everlasting Father. And it's still being debated to this day, isn't it? Jesus, not Jesus. Jesus, not Jesus. Way, no way. Way, no way. I mean, it's going to be debated till the end of time. But what we celebrate in this place is the sacrifice of Jesus. We celebrate it every week in looking at this cross. We celebrate it at the altar in the Last Supper. Do this in memory of me. We celebrate his sacrifice for us because it's opened up a whole new life for us and for all of humanity, if only we will say yes. It's what we celebrate. And the other thing that we're being invited to do today is to realize that whatever we surrender or sacrifice in our own lives, God can use and transform it into a thing of beauty and redemption. You know, as you and I follow the Lord Jesus Christ, or at least seek to do that each day of our lives, as we seek to follow him and as we come into situations where we are invited and called to surrender and sacrifice different parts of our lives, maybe there's something we really want to do, but we're being called to let it go. Maybe there's some place we really want to be, but there's that person broke down along the side of the road and our conscience and the spirit is convicting us to stop and help them out. Maybe there is some need that has come across your path and you've already given your check to that other need that came across your path. And yet, again, the spirit in your conscience is tugging at your heart and saying, you know what, you're not done yet. You're not done surrendering. You're not done sacrificing in my name. I want you to give a little bit more to my honor and my glory. That is a thing of beauty. That is a thing of redemption. And God is using you, beloved. God is using you to bring about a witness, a sweet fragrance of surrender, a rose that is crushed and sacrificed that the beauty of its scent might fill the room. God is inviting you and me to be that crushed rose, to fill the room with his perfume and be a witness to the Spirit of God and the Spirit of sacrifice. It's a beautiful thing. We go there kicking and screaming, but it is a beautiful thing. So my question for you and me here today, and I ask myself this as well as asking you, I ask you here today, what or who haven't you sacrificed? What or who is God calling you to sacrifice now? The reality is sacrifice will cost us deeply. That's why it's called sacrifice. And it is your next step. So I ask you here today, I ask you before the altar of our Lord, I ask you before the ultimate reminder of his sacrifice for us, what is the Lord God Almighty calling you to sacrifice? Or who is he calling you to sacrifice? Because it is those surrenderings, it is those sacrifices, it is that letting go that opens up the door to a whole new beginning. I don't know about you, but there have been moments in my life where God had clearly called me to give someone or something up. And I mean, I struggled with it. Anything but that, right? I'll give you anyone or anything but that. That's what I want. That's what I want. Anything but that. You know, let's make a deal, God. God, will you take door number two or door number three? Because I really want door number one. I want door number one, and I'm inviting you to sacrifice to me that. I know it's a sacrifice for you, but I am calling you to give that person or that thing up to me because that's what it means for you to follow me at this moment. And I did not do it. And you know what? You live with regret after that, don't you? I mean, you look back on that moment. It was a fork in the road. It was a choice as clear as day, and you didn't do it. Now, God is a God of second chances. God can do all kinds of things. But beloved of God, at this moment in your life, wherever you are, when God opens up the door afresh for you for surrender or sacrifice, whatever you do, by the grace of God, if you're struggling with it, get on your knees as quick as you can and begin to cry out to God, God, give me the grace in this moment to make this sacrifice for you, to make this sacrifice for my brother or my sister. I may not have been able to do it years ago, but give me the grace in this moment to say yes to you, to begin to embrace the cross that you have me to carry in this moment. You know, one of the things I love about this church, I remember when I first came to this church, it was a while ago, 6 years now, I remember this cross. You know, I've been to a lot of churches, and I'm sure many of you have as well. I have never seen a cross like this in any other church, ever. And the thing that's so stunning and startling and tragic and grabbing and, I mean, I just can't wrap my mind around it because it keeps wrapping itself around me, are all the nails, the cross of nails. I mean, of course, we know that Jesus had three nails put into his body, but when I look at that cross, it reminds me of the nails that Jesus took into his body. His surrender to that torture, his surrender to that sacrifice and the giving of his young life at the age of 33, the surrender and self-sacrifice that Jesus gave for you and me was painful. It was heart-wrenching. It was cost his life. And beloved, on some level, that's what it's going to cost you and me to follow him day in and day out as we seek to honor the Lord in our next step. And yet, as I look at that cross along with you in this moment, it is a thing of beauty. It is at that place that we are redeemed. It is at that place that the door to heaven was opened afresh. It is at that place where Jesus was buried. In 3 days, he rose from the dead, victorious, glorious, anointed, resurrected, King of kings and Lord of lords. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, as Connie read, above earth, on the earth, and under the earth, and proclaim to the glory of God that he is Lord. How awesome, how wonderful, and how beautiful is that? As you and I begin to surrender, as you and I begin to self-sacrifice, as you and I truly begin to embrace the cross that is uniquely ours, beloved, there are doors that will open for you that you can only imagine. Doors to glory. Doors to miracles. Doors to heaven. Doors of blessings. In closing, Ray and he were best friends who did everything together. They bought a car together. They double dated together. They went to school together. They enlisted in the army together, and they even were fighting on the same battlefield together. One night in the foxhole, he was reminiscing about the old days in Brooklyn while Ray listened and ate a chocolate bar. Suddenly, a live grenade fell into their foxhole between them. Ray looked at his friend, smiled, dropped his chocolate bar, and rolled his body over onto the live grenade. The explosion killed Ray, but his friend's life was spared. When this friend became a priest, he was told to take the name of a saint. And he immediately thought of his friend, Ray Brennan. Years later, Brennan Manning went to visit Ray's mother in Brooklyn. As they were up late one night having tea, Brennan asked her, "Do you think Ray loved me?" Mrs. Brennan got up off of the couch, shook her finger in front of Brennan's face, and shouted, "Jesus Christ, what else could he have done for you?" Jesus Christ, what else could he have done for us?